Ladies and gentlemen, the air conditioning is off and you're listening to Magic the Amateuring Radio Hour. My name is Ben Gartner and I'm your host. I'm joined tonight by my two co-hosts, Maria, sitting on my left.
Hi, I'm sitting on Ben's left.
And Megan, hovering above me, gazing down in judgment.
Hi, I'm Megan. Tonight I'll be playing Lucidia Lafleur, the judging angel.
We're players who love Magic the Gathering, and we want to share our love with you. I've been playing for almost 1,500 years.
Oh my god, that's an eon.
Megan and Maria are newer to the game. They've only been playing about a year, but boy, are they addicted.
Woo!
Super addicted, Ben.
And we're here to tell you about their journey deeper and deeper into the chasm that is Magic the Amateuring. They're well past the point where they can turn around and leave.
Right. My stick that is a torch with like a flaming thing made from oil and a rag.
They're totally guttered out.
It's like, gone.
That like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It was gone, sees.
It's like you're in the Mines of Moria and you're well past the point where you could turn around.
That giant... whatever scary creature that
Balrog?
Was in that lake.
The Balrog?
No, the one that was in the lake outside the gates
Gollum?
Where they originally
Gollum?
Shut up. The big squid thing that was in the lake by the gates.
Was
totally
it the fat guy with the belly button or whatever?
Tom Bombadil, yes.
Fat bastard?
Yeah.
Yeah,
from Austin
one.
Powers?
From Austin Powers. That guy.
He was hiding in the lake and then they all ran in the doors and he broke them behind them. The doors have been broken by fat bastard.
What we're trying to say is there is no return from our obsession with magic and now we decide to do a show about it.
So if you love magic, if you're new or maybe you've come back after a hiatus... or maybe you just like listen to people laugh at their own jokes.
Then we're your guys.
That's us.
We've got a great show for you today. We're going to talk about top-down design. What does that mean? You'll find out. We're going to do some Theros spoilers. Ben recently went to play in Grand Prix Oakland. We're going to cover that. We've got an exciting new segment, Pick, Lick, and Flick. You'll have to wait for that one. And we're going to announce the winner. We're giving away a From the Vault 20, you guys.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I know, that shit's worth dollar bills. And it's beautiful. They're all foil.
What?
So if you signed up for themeatery.org, where we post this podcast every Monday and Megan and I write articles, you were automatically entered for a drawing to win a From the Vault 20. So
you may have won.
You may have won. So yeah.
That being said, just because you're like, oh man, I didn't sign up for the meatery in time to win From the Vault 20. You should still sign up because there's lots of other sweet stuff that's going on the meatery.
We're going to do some more giveaways too in the future, so keep listening.
I heard they're going to give away a picture of a college.
Oh, man. I heard that they're going to give away a book about NASA.
I heard they're going to give away a box of grass.
I heard they're going to give away a magic card that is... the back of a magic card on both sides.
I heard that they're going to give away a box of graham crackers, but on the inside they actually stuffed it full of saltines. Joke!
I heard they're going to give away a Snickers bar that is a Mobius strip.
Shut up.
Oh my god. What?
So you guys, you can see how awesome it is to hang out on the meatery with us. You can friend us, read other magic articles, buy cards. You know, it's a pretty cool place.
A Snickers bar that is a Mobius strip. That's so much Snickers.
Forever, really.
And I can just eat it. If I was licking it, I could just go on licking it forever. For the noobs.
So, there's a new set coming out. It's called Theros. And a lot of people are talking about top-down design.
Is that where you start with the tits first?
It's Maria, are your tits on top?
You better believe it.
All right.
Is that because you're always on your back?
It's because I float in water.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm referring to.
Much
your
like
exercise
a dead
routine.
Fish.
Ever since you broke both legs.
Yeah, I just kind of...
That's how you get around.
That's how I get around.
Mm-hmm. Top-down design is not when you start with the tits.
Okay.
Although that would be fine too. It's not when you do your design in a convertible.
Is it when you're writing a book And instead of writing first page to last page, you write all the top, the first sentences of each page first.
And then you and go then back. You
go back and you write all of the second sentences of each page.
You know, I feel like that could actually work.
That sounds really, like a really
like
neat
a good writing technique.
Exercise.
You guys, I'm going to go talk to a publisher.
Is it when you jump out of a building with a parachute and you slowly design the set as you descend to the first floor?
No, although that would be good. Put okay. some urgency.
Yeah, right, you got to get it done.
Yeah.
The idea behind top-down set design is you start with a concept, an idea for the whole set, and then you fill in the details later instead of starting at the bottom and going in reverse.
Hamburgers.
So Return to Ravnica.
That's my idea for a concept.
What?
Hamburgers.
You know, my parents always taught me to eat hamburgers with the big part of the bun on bottom.
What?
They taught me top-down hamburger eating.
Shut.
Ben, that's so weird.
It's because, like, the bigger bun is going to, like, absorb all the juice and stuff. And it's going to hold up better, right?
Yep, totally.
But so many people in my life have ridiculed me so hard.
Did they call you Backwards Bun Ben?
That's way more clever than any of them came up with.
Oh, well.
Most of them are just like, you're eating it upside down, kid.
Where are all your friends from and why are they so old?
Yeah, most of them live in a dumpster.
Okay. So Theros is a top-down design set, meaning that they started off with this big concept of Greek gods and monsters.
So it's not like Return to Ravnica where they started with the idea of the guilds and each guild is two colors and then they built up from there. They're going to start with this idea that like Greek myths are super cool.
They are. They totally
are. They were right.
And if, let's say, the Greek myths were in magic, what color would everything be? And would there be unicorns? Probably.
Are there going to be hydras? Most definitely.
Pegasi.
Definitely.
Minotaur.
Definitely.
That headed, eight-headed dog.
Yes, Cerebus. Totally. Medusas.
That's a three-headed dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Medusa, sure. Gorgons, probably. I think
totally,
Medusa.
Yeah, Gorgons, not
Medusa's trademarked
right,
by
right.
ancient Rome.
They hold the trademark on so many.
Caesar
things.
Still has that trademark.
Caesar salad. Yeah. They have to pay royalties every time you order a Caesar salad.
Do you think there's going to be a Caesar salad card?
I hope so.
Do you think there's going to be a card that says, "This is Sparta"?
Do you think there's going to be a card that says, "Toga, toga, toga,
toga"?
Toga.
Is there gonna be a is there gonna be a card? I forgot what I was gonna say. Never mind.
The last set that was top down designed was Innistrad Black.
Right.
Innistrad and Dark Ascension, and those sets were awesome, and I really enjoyed them a lot. And I think everyone really enjoyed them because it resonated with horror movies and werewolves and Frankensteins and vampires. All that shit was in there. And people just ate it up.
So their theme for Innistrad was like, let's make a horror movie.
Let's make a magic set that feels like a horror movie.
And did it?
Yeah, it really did. There was like, the cards felt like you'd play out a lot of humans and stuff, and then your opponent would play out some werewolves, and then the werewolves would turn into humans, and it's like, oh shit.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then you'd have to struggle for a while before you could figure out how to turn them back into werewolves.
Yeah, or there were humans that turned into vampires and then they didn't really turn back into humans again.
Yeah, that's true. There are cards that did that.
And then there were angels that were helping people.
And Jeff Goldblum was in it.
Was there a glass of water that when you
No, no, no.
Boom, boom.
There was a card that started out as a 1/1 human.
Yeah.
And then he turned into a 3/2 flying human insect.
Oh my god.
What?
Did they do it on purpose?
Yeah, it was an homage to the fly.
No
of
way.
Of course they did.
That's cool.
Of course they did it on purpose. Innistrad had 666 cards in the block.
That's right, it did.
What the fart?
Yeah,
they
man.
Went deep, man. They went deep.
Yeah, they're on top of it.
Yeah, so I'm expecting we're going to see very similar stuff. Maybe the casting cost will be in Roman numerals.
Oh my god, how awesome would that be?
It's only going to get horrible, like everything is in Roman numerals. So like, when you're doing your math, you have to use an abacus.
And like, not even just the casting cost, but power and toughness are in Roman numerals.
Yeah.
Down at the bottom.
I can't wait till they do the ancient Egypt set and it's all hieroglyphs.
I love it.
It's going to be so good, you guys. It's going to be so good.
So anyway, if you've never heard of top-down design, now you know what it is. And so when people are talking about it, you can pretend like you know what you're talking about.
So
just
you,
like I did.
You mentioned Innistrad's top-down. Kamigawa, wasn't that?
Kamigawa was also top-down design.
And people did not necessarily like that set.
People didn't, but I did.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. Ben's not a person, so.
Yeah, people didn't like that one too much. It was themed sort of like ancient Japanese mythology. And I think
one is that where some of the cards had horsemanship instead of flying?
No.
Okay.
No.
What block was that?
That was from Portal 3 Kingdoms, which was based on like land wars in Asia.
Oh, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, but the Kamigawa block, I mean... The block, the cards in the block were a little underpowered. They also, most of them only worked with themselves. There were a lot of
very masturbatory
arcane spells and spirit spells. So remember a lot of the arcane spells that had splice and stuff in Modern
splice
Masters?
Splice onto arcane.
Yeah. The problem with that is, like, outside of the block, there's nothing with arcane. So, like, those cards are only good with the other cards in the set.
Sure.
So, yeah, that was part of the reason why people didn't like it. And then also, ancient Japan is super cool, but there's not like a ton of flavor. Like there's all these weird kamis and stuff that were ancient spirits, but it's like no one really knows that much about it unless you live in Japan, maybe.
Or
they had ninjas and those were cool. But other than that,
were they unblockable?
Like, actually, the way the ninjas worked was super cool. If you attacked and your opponent didn't block. If you attacked with any creature and your opponent didn't block, and you had a creature in your hand with ninjutsu, you could pay the ninjutsu cost and put it in place of the attacking creature. So it was like he pulled off his disguise and he was a ninja the whole time.
What? That's
yeah,
awesome.
It was kind of cool. And then the ninjas also usually did something cool when they did combat damage to your opponent.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like yelled, ninja star in the face, sucker.
There are ninjas, they don't yell.
You're right.
Get it together, Maria.
Yeah. They just write it in blood on your face.
Boom.
Yeah, so this set is sort of the tie-breaking vote.
Okay.
Wizards wants to know, hey.
Are we in love with top-down design? Do we want to take it home?
Are we good at it or are we bad at it?
Or do we just want
are we good
one
at
date?
It and we had a fluke? Or are we bad at it and we had a fluke?
Ooh, this is going to be exciting to see.
All right.
I think it's going to be awesome.
I sure hope so. Sure hope so. We've got some Theros spoilers.
Speaking of Theros, let's see how we're doing because there have been some spoiled cards. And as everybody knows, Megan and I love to see the spoilers.
All right. I don't want to have my pre-release experience ruined. So I'm going to put on a blindfold and earplugs.
Okay, Ben.
For the rest of this. And I'll just try to do my best to make insightful comments without hearing or seeing any of the cards.
Okay. All right. Goodbye, Ben.
Bye, Ben.
That's how he sleeps. Did you know that?
With his eyes and ears totally covered?
Yes.
Safe. Super safe.
Super safe.
Super safe.
There's that one time I broke into his house with a baseball bat. He had no idea.
Oh, man. I loved when we broke into Ben's house with a baseball bat. All right.
I had barbecue for dinner.
Yep. That has a lot to do with the first card on here, which is Celestial Archon.
Ooh.
Enchantment creature. What? It's an enchantment creature? Shut the F up.
Yeah, we've seen this on a couple of cards in here. Enchantment creature. And the question is, you know, does that make them more vulnerable to removal? Because they are two different types of thing?
That can be targeted by two different types of removal?
Right.
Well, let's read a little bit more about what this card does. It costs 3 colorless and 2 white. It has flying and first strike. It's a 4/4. If it is an enchantment, enchanted creature gets +4/+4 and has flying and first strike. And then it has something called bestow.
Wow.
Yeah. Bestow for 5 colorless and 2 white.
The same as the casting cost.
No, the casting is 3 colorless and 2 white. More. Yeah, bestow is 5 colorless, 2 white. If you cast this card for its bestow cost, it's an aura spell with enchant creature. It becomes a creature again if it's not attached to a creature. So, Ben, correct me if I'm wrong. Does that mean I could cast this on an aura, as an aura, and then if the creature was targeted and this fell off, it would become a creature?
You mean if the creature was killed?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it means.
Sweet, dude. That's pretty.
Also, think about this. We saw a few cards that said if this card is targeted by a spell or ability, I don't quite remember the wording.
Heroic.
It gets a bonus with heroic.
Yeah.
So this could come in for about a billion damage if you're putting it on a dude with heroic.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
It does cost 7 to bestow onto something, so it's no easy picnic down to the corner store.
That's true. That is very true. Man, Ben is making some really relevant comments for being blindfolded and having earplugs.
That's very true.
I mean, we're looking at all the cards in Braille, so.
Yep, that's true. All right, Maria, what's up next? This is also exciting.
Yeah, this one I think is really, really cool. Thassa, God of the Sea. Thassa, I don't know if you want to get fancy. It costs 2 and a blue for a 5/5. What the bejesus. Plus, this is a mythic rare. It is a legendary enchantment creature, a god. So she's the god of the sea. She's indestructible. And here is another new kind of ability mechanic. What do you call this blindfolded, Ben? Devotion. Wait, I forgot. He has a blindfold on.
Oh, that's right. Go ahead, Ben.
So right now, for example, my devotion is 0 because I can't see any of the mana symbols on my cards.
Okay, maybe I should read it. As long as your devotion to blue is less than 5, Thassa isn't a creature. Each blue in your mana, in the mana cost of the permanents you control counts towards your devotion to blue. That's really, really cool. And to me, it seems very flavorful, like you're paying devotion to the gods. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And in this case, so she's blue. You're paying devotion to blue by having that in your casting cost.
Yeah, this is like a tweak of an old ability called Chroma, which did something similar. But, you know, sometimes it was the permanents you had in play, and sometimes you would reveal cards from your hand. Some cards, it would be like cards in the graveyard or something. I never played with the set that was in. I'm not even sure which set it was. But yeah, I think this should be pretty cool.
Plus, we're not even done with her.
We're not even done with Thassa.
At the beginning of your upkeep, scry 1.
What?
Let's remind us what scry is, Ben.
Scry means you scry 1, or scry X means look at the top X cards of your library. You may put them on the top or bottom.
Okay. And then you can pay 1 and a blue. Target creature you control can't be blocked this turn.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, so
that seems like a pretty baller card right there.
My question, though, of this card is, what does it mean? If your devotion to blue is less than 5, Thassa isn't a creature. So what is she?
She's an enchantment.
She's just sitting out there.
She's a legendary enchantment.
And all you're getting is, you're getting the scry, and you're getting the 1 and a blue to make something unblockable.
Yep.
Oh, well, that's not so bad.
And then also, you've got potentially a 5/5. Like, if you can get your devotion up to 5. And if you have Thassa, your devotion is at 1.
Yeah.
Automatically, then all of a sudden you have a 5/5 creature that can attack right away because she's not going to have summoning sickness.
Right.
That's pretty sweet.
The same way a man land or a key rune wouldn't have summoning sickness if you activated it.
Nice. Question. It says indestructible. If I were to target this with an enchantment removal, is it still indestructible?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Oh, you're going to have to, exile her, right?
Yeah, you have to exile her.
Or give her -5/-5.
Yeah, so you guys were talking, you're asking if enchantment creatures are going to be more vulnerable to removal. And we already have artifact creatures. And those are typically very vulnerable to removal
because
you can use either artifact removal spells or creature removal spells. And one thing they did in Mirrodin block, in Scars of Mirrodin, when they brought that stuff back, is they had cards like Shatter which is destroy target artifact, where like you could just take that and it was basically conditional removal. So we'll probably see something like that in this set.
Nice.
Whether it's like disenchant or something else remains to be seen.
Ben, what's the next one?
The next one is Abhorrent Overlord. It's a 7-drop. It is a black 7-drop. It's a creature demon with flying. It's a 6/6. When Abhorrent Overlord enters the battlefield, put a number of 1/1 black harpy creature tokens with flying onto the battlefield equal to your devotion to black.
Ooh, wow.
At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice creature. Okay, so this is a big flyer with the drawback, but he also makes harpies. He's going to make at least 2.
Yep.
Because he's got 2 devotion himself. And then if you have anything else, any other black cards out, he's going to make even more. So that seems all right.
I love this guy. 6/6 flyer.
Yep. You know, he's so expensive, so hopefully this set will be, you know, I would say I hope it's at least the same speed as M14. So there's a chance of getting him out, you know?
Yeah,
I'm sure it'll be.
I would say this set so far doesn't seem like a gate crash scenario. It seems more like an M14
right
scenario. Sure. Even Thassa, who only costs 2 and a blue, she's not going to be a creature until you have devotion to blue equal to 5.
Right.
That's going to take a little while.
And, you know, I did recently read some stuff that Mark Rosewater wrote about Gate Crash and how he said he was a little sad that they were trying to make it fast, but he thinks they made it a little too fast.
It got a little out of control. It was a little bit, it could be a little bit of a runaway train.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you want a quickie, but you don't want it.
Like, every time.
You don't want a quickie every time.
And you don't want it to be too quick.
How quick is too quick, Ben?
I'd say like
3 turns.
Like if I didn't have enough time to enjoy it.
Right?
At all.
Well, who's enjoying it now? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
3 turns, too quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too quick.
Although, I mean, you should try it at least once just to say you've done it.
Make your own judgments.
Right? Okay, sure.
All right, our next card is Ember Swallower.
Yikes.
2 and then double red, creature elemental. Ooh, here comes Monstrosity again. 5 colorless, 2 red for Monstrosity 3. That's a lot. Oh snap. When Ember Swallower becomes monstrous, each player sacrifices 3 lands.
Wow.
Yikes. Okay.
That's a little crazy town. It's a little crazy town.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're going from 7 lands down to 4.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a 7/8?
I'd be okay with that.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it from my point of view. Like, yeah. I would never play that. I'm saying that, like, that's intense.
That's just balls gusting.
Exactly. Especially seeing some of these big casting costs that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Going from 7 lands to 4 lands could really be a problem.
I hope when I cast this card, my opponent only has 3 lands and I get rid of all of them.
Oh my god.
What if you have a Satyr Hedonist and you sack him to get the extra mana?
Oh man. Nice. Then you're really going to burn somebody.
Yeah, burn him in his butt.
Can I give you a euphemism?
Also, you're going to go down to 0 land.
This guy is making me have a euphemism of the week moment.
Ember Swallower?
Ember Swallower. Yeah. Somebody who teabags.
Why are those embers?
Because they're like large hot rocks.
Yep. Nice. Ember Swallower.
Ember Swallower. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, isn't that someone who's being teabagged?
You're getting an ember swallowing.
What? Okay. Okay.
Also, if they're red, please see a doctor.
Yes. Please do.
We've been dealing with a lot of hot temperatures in Minnesota this week, so Ben, you know what it's like.
Yep.
All right, we've got
Ben literally just took off his shirt, everybody. Okay, I really need to.
You're welcome, ladies.
Oh my god.
We have another card.
Let's keep moving on. He's tweaking his nipples at us. All right, Megan, ready?
Yep. No. Maria. Okay. I'm just going to keep my shirt on. Sorry.
All right.
Sorry, you guys. Okay. You both look very, very temperature night. Temperature. Okay. Oh, man.
The next card is Anthusa, Cetacean Hero. I feel like I'm ordering at an Italian restaurant.
I'm looking across the table from you right now. You look naked. You look like you're sitting here podcasting naked because I can't see your legs. Oh, my God. Don't take off your pants. Listener, things have never got more hot on Magic the Amateuring.
This card is a 4/5, and it is a green 5-drop. It's a legendary creature, human warrior. Boring.
But wait.
It says heroic. Whenever you cast a spell that targets Anthusa, Cetacean Hero, up to 3 target lands you control each become 2/2 warrior creatures until end of turn. They're still lands. Underwhelming.
You feel underwhelmed by this? It's rare.
I guess you're going to make a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're all 2/2s, whatever.
Well, think about Howl of the Night Pack.
I'm thinking about Howl of the Night Pack.
And to me, I'm like, who cares? I get a bunch of 2/2s. But a lot of people are like, that's about 6 2/2s. You win.
Yeah.
That's enough for a ballet recital.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So Ben's underwhelmed by this card. I mean, it's definitely not as cool as our 6/6 flying demon or our 4/5 teabagger. So it's got a lot to live up to, I think.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, you'll get there someday.
You'll play him.
I want to play this guy and make him heroic.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, you're not turning your nose up too much.
Also, turning your lands into dudes gets a little risky, and they can kill your lands.
And that stinks.
That hurts.
If there's like a Wrath of God.
Oh, there probably is, considering this is a god theme set.
I would assume so.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, maybe.
I hope it's called Wrath of Gods.
Yes. If it's not, they did not do their job.
I know. They're going to be like, oh, we had to reprint it so we had to keep the name, but it would be so good if it was Wrath of Gods.
Just make a new card that's almost a reprinting, but not quite.
Wizards, come on. Come on, guys.
That would never get confused.
All right, we got one more card
Wrath
to tell you about.
Wrath is banned, but you can play Wrath.
Okay, this guy right here.
Yeah, Shipbreaker Kraken.
Release the Kraken.
Four colorless and 2 blue creature Kraken.
I'm a rare.
Monstrosity 4 for 6/2 blue.
I bet I taste like lobster.
He looks exactly like a giant lobster.
Yeah.
No, a giant crab.
He looks like a lobster wearing a hat.
When Shipbreaker Kraken becomes monstrous, tap up to 4 target creatures. Those creatures don't untap during their controller's untap steps.
What do they do
for as
instead?
Long as you control Shipbreaker Kraken? They just chill out.
They're kind of like in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah. Wait, so 4 target creatures?
Four. Mother effing target creatures.
It does cost 8.
It does cost 8.
To activate his monstrosity.
But then you have, let's be clear, you have a 10/10. And you just tapped all their shit.
You win. Yep. You win.
Sure.
Yeah. Basically.
So basic, I mean, it pretty much reads 6/2 blue, win the game.
This guy reminds me of Lorthos.
Who's Lorthos?
You don't know Lorthos?
He sounds like some kind of lozenge.
He is very soothing. And hard to swallow.
Well, Ben, educate us. On Lorthos.
Lorthos is the Tide Maker. He's from Zendikar. He's a legendary octopus.
That's literally what he is.
He's an 8-drop. He's an 8/8. And when he attacks, you can pay 8 and tap up to 8 target permanents. Those permanents don't untap during their controller's next untap step.
Wow.
Could you actually play this dude?
I get him all the time in Mjolnir Basic.
Okay. In Zendikar, could you play this guy?
You know, LSV actually did a draft video that's on Channel Fireball somewhere where he drafted a deck with Lorthos, and I think he won the draft.
Oh my god.
It was pretty awesome.
Okay, so there's an 8 or 9 drop, I don't know what it is, in M14, right?
There's a 9-drop sorcery that it's black and it brings all creatures from all graveyards back under your control.
I put it in my deck. This may be why I'm losing so much. But I put it in just like, I just want to do it. Yeah. I just want to see if I can do it.
It's called Rise of the Dark Realms.
Right, that's it. Yeah. I didn't do it.
You did not raise the Dark Realms.
Yeah, 9 mana is a little insane.
It's insane.
It's a little insane.
Yeah, you need to have like 3 opportunities and 4 divinations in your deck before I'm going to approve that message.
Okay.
let's see. We have one more. The Bident of Thassa. I don't even know what that means.
It's a legendary enchantment artifact. No big deal. So have you guys read the Planeswalker's Guide to Theros?
Yes.
Megan?
No.
Where
you
can we read it?
You didn't do your homework, Megan? It's on dailymtg.com somewhere.
Go look and try and find it. It's like a treasure hunt.
So they explain that the gods of Theros live in this dream world called Nyx.
Yeah.
And that enchantments are gifts from the god, and it's like their influence on the real world.
Oh.
And so being an enchantment means you are from the god's realm.
Ooh.
So if this is an enchantment artifact, that means it's like...
It's like something... It's like, this is Thassa. We talked about her.
Yeah, it's what she uses to eat.
Look, it's in her picture.
It's her fork.
It's her giant 2-prong fork.
Right, and so... That's why Thassa, who is a god, great, great creature type, by the way. I'm going to start naming that for whenever I have to name a creature type, I'm going to name god. That's why she's an enchantment, is because she is godlike. And then also this celestial archon, that's clearly something that a god would keep as a pet.
Look at it,
Maybe in a godlike enchantment terrarium.
Aww.
Cavern of Souls. Creature type god.
Adorable.
Door of Destinies. Creature type god.
Yeah. So what do we got here?
It's Bident.
It's a Bident, which is not quite a trident.
Not quite a quadrant.
You gotta love
it. But it's better than a unident.
It's totally,
that's called a spear.
It's totally better than a unident. Hey, Ben, I've got something stuck in my teeth. Do you have any tiny... Unidents around?
Sure. I'll see if I can throw one in your mouth.
Hey, I need to tune my guitar. Do you have a Bident I could use?
Yeah. A tuning Bident?
A tuning Bident.
Totally. Hey, I need to eat this salad.
Yeah.
Do you have a quadent I could use?
I have this fordent.
That works too.
Perfect. I'm traveling to Britain, but I need to plug in my curling iron.
Need a trident.
Like 6 of them.
You need a trident.
So this thing lets creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, and that lets you draw a card. Wow. So it turns all of your guys into scroll thieves.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And not only that, but it facilitates you being able to draw those cards by you can pay 2 and a blue and tap it. Creatures your opponents control attack this turn if able.
So this has the first ability is a very enchantment ability, right?
Because
it gives all your creatures, like all your creatures do whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then the second one is very artifact-like because it has an activation cost and you have to tap it, which you never tap enchantments. You just tap artifacts.
Right. Nice. Hence,
so they've combined it. And cool. Now it's like a combo meal.
Artifact.
Artifacts are like the fries.
Sweet. Sure.
So yeah, so at first glance at this, I say that seems really cool. Those are both really, really valuable abilities. Hopefully this set, you know, like I said, is slower to allow me time to play this 4 mana thing.
I'm sure.
Get a lot of use out of it.
Sure, you get the 4 mana.
I mean, also,
it seems like you're going to be rewarded for, you know, with the devotion cards, you're going to be rewarded for having a lot of
double-color
stuff or double-color casting costs, whereas in the last set, you were penalized for it because it was so hard in RTR to cast anything that had double in the cost.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of double.
Smack it down, flip it, and reverse it.
Okay. I will.
So, Ben.
What up?
You were recently at GP Oakland.
That's true. I traveled from Minnesota to the city of Oakland.
California.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was good. It was good. The building that I initially thought was the convention center turned out to be a detention facility.
Oh my God, Ben!
Did you go there and try to play magic?
So way to live up to your reputation, Oakland.
I bet you made some new friends.
But I did play some magic, built some decks. I dropped out of the main event after four rounds.
This is M14 sealed.
Yeah. I went 2-2, and then I had to drop, and I dropped out because I wanted to play in the rebound sealed.
Smart.
And I went 4-0 in that.
Awesome.
And nice. I won a bunch of packs and free entry into the Sunday Super Series sealed celebration. which was a sealed deck tournament on Sunday, and there were about 100 players, so
wow.
It was 7 rounds, and I ended up going 4-3. There's some close matches.
Nice.
Met some people, and thanks everyone for playing. So I ended up playing like 3 tournaments that were all M14 sealed.
Do you feel like you're now a master of the sealed deck?
I definitely learned some stuff. Figured out I had the deck that I 4-0'd with was actually a really aggressive red-black deck.
Interesting.
It had some Rage Cats in it, the 4-1.
Oh, yeah.
Regath and Fire Cats.
It had the Seismic Stomp, the one that makes things not able to block.
Nice. Right.
That did some work for me. It had, it really would have loved to have an Act of Treason.
Oh, I bet.
But it did not. It did not.
It wanted it.
But guess what? You didn't need it. 4-0.
Yeah, I went 4-0.
Did you have any Volcanic Geysers?
No. I did have 2 Chandra's Outrage.
There you go.
That was pretty sweet.
Shiv's Embrace? Were you embracing anyone with a Shiv?
I did not Shiv's Embrace anyone. There were a lot of turns. I mean, like, the best possible thing I could do with that deck is play turn 3 Rage Cat, and then on turn 4... Chandra's Outrage, their blocker, and then attack.
Okay.
I was like, boom, 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 boom.
That sounds like a Maria boom, deck boom. If I ever heard of one.
I had an Ogre Battle Driver.
Sure.
He's like a 3-3, and then when stuff comes into the battlefield, he gets +2/+0 in haste. That never happened. So it was so
dang
sad.
It,
I know.
Dang it.
I think I only played him once. I also had Blur Sliver. 2 Sliver Constructs, the red one drop First Strike Sliver, and the black rare Lifelink Sliver, and then also the 5/3 sliver that gives everything +2/+0.
Love it.
And the red rare sliver, Thorncaster, which when you attack, you can do 1 damage.
Oh, snap.
Get rid of those trained condors. Bye-bye.
You got a real sliver package.
Yeah, so I assembled Voltron a few times. That
cool.
was fun. Yeah.
Cool. Very nice.
So, yeah, most of my wins were on the backs of Seismic Stomp or 4-1 Rage Firecats with some removal or just...
Rage Cat!
Or just some, some sliver action.
Very you nice. Know, Seismic Stomp isn't a card I would think to want to put in my deck.
Yeah.
But I'd be...
You'd probably be correct.
But this seems like it's okay in this deck.
Yeah, and I think in Sealed, it's probably also not that good because you just really usually rather have
a
creature
card.
That can
yeah.
attack. Usually that's going to get him more damage, but because I had the 4-1s and because I had the 5/3s, I knew that I was going to be in positions, and because I was just so aggressive, I'm like, this is going to help me steal some games that otherwise I wouldn't be able to win. And it did.
Nice. It was very purposeful use of Seismic Stomp.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
like, oh, sure, I'll play that card.
Seismic Stomp is not a card you just throw
no.
in.
No.
It's gotta fit right in that slot. There's gotta be a Seismic Stomp shaped hole in your heart that the doctors are trying to fix.
What's wrong with you?
I have a hole
in
my heart.
I have a hole in my heart.
And it's shaped
like
giant a 2-mana red sorcery.
I'm sorry, you're a total goner.
Meep, meep.
So that was my experience. Really? I also got to see my brother because he lives in that area. And that was fun.
Yeah. Ben, what are three words you'd use to describe GP Oakland?
Oh my G.
Great good. Use of words.
Excellent. Yeah.
Should have sent a poet.
It was also very mentally exhausting. I was pretty tired by the end of it.
Yeah.
You gotta build up mental fortitude if you wanna go the distance in these things.
Word.
Yeah.
We have a brand new segment here, you guys. I hope you're excited to play along with us at home. We're playing the new game of Pick, Lick, Flick.
What, Maria? What is Pick, Lick, Flick?
Well, Megan, have you heard of the age-old game you used to play with your BFFs called Marry, Fuck, Kill?
Totally. Except depending on how prudish the friends were, it might be Marry, Boff, Kill.
Boff?
That's totally what they say in 30 Rock.
Boff?
I know, right?
Nobody says boff.
They say it.
How can it be marry, boff, kill, and not marry, boff, or off?
That is a fatal error in that television
good
series.
Good point.
Marry, boff, off. Maria, can you tell us what our correlations are?
Sure. So marry is going to be pick. So we're going to find a card. We're going to open a pack, and we're going to pick one to marry. That's going to be pick. Stop it, Ben. Get your naked body away from the microphone with that pack.
Jeez.
All right, lick will be fuck. So one of these cards in the pack we're going to pick for lick. And flick.
It's a card you love so much, you just want to lick it.
Right.
But then the card's ruined and you can't play with it.
There's no use mirroring it.
Yeah.
Nope.
Flick is the card you would kill because you're going to flick it around your hand and you're just going to totally mess up the quality.
Yeah.
All right. Are we going by like how much I would put this card in my deck? Or how much I just like or am attracted to this card because of its looks or its personality.
Well, that's the difference between pick and lick.
Okay.
You would pick it in a draft because you want to win the draft, then that's pick.
That's Mary.
But if you would pick it just because you want to touch it to your body, that would be lick. All right.
Gotcha.
So leave the lands in and shuffle up.
Oh, okay.
This is, I see how we're doing.
Hold on, put down my microphone.
Shuffle up and deal.
Ooh, I got a juicy one.
All right, ready.
Ready, Megan?
One, two, three.
Okay, would you pick, lick, or flick Blightcaster, Solemn Offering, or Angelic Wall?
Oh man, I already got it.
I've got it easy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is an easy one.
Pick Blightcaster, lick Angelic Wall, flick Solemn Offering.
Oh, I would pick Blightcaster, lick Solemn Offering because it's a combo card. And I would flick Angelic Wall.
That's fair. I could see going that way.
I would go that way as well because I don't want to fuck an Angelic Wall.
Yeah.
That sounds uncomfortable.
But you do want to fuck
a solemn offering.
A solemn offering.
Fuck an artifact or enchantment. and then make some baby life. Angels.
Yeah. All right, ready?
All right.
Next draw.
One, two, ooh. Three.
Ooh. All right.
This is a good one, you guys.
This one is saucy. All right. Would you lick, pick, flick, or dropkick Dark Favor, Enlarge,
oh, man,
or Shiv's Embrace?
Oh,
I think I got it. Oh, it's hard, but I think I got it.
All right, I got it.
Okay, this is very tough for me.
This is a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you may know, Shiv's Embrace is the card that is exactly up my alley.
Yep.
Like, I really want it. So I'm going to have to pick Shiv's Embrace,
mm-hmm.
even though I think it would be a better lick than any of the other cards. Maybe that's just a plus side because mm-hmm. I'm picking
it. That's fair.
Picking Shiv's, and I'm going to lick Enlarge, and then I'm going to flick Dark Favor.
I have to say, I'm going to pick Enlarge, lick Shiv's Embrace, and flick Dark Favor.
I have to agree with
you. I think most Magic players would agree with you guys, but I just can't. Shiv's Embrace is just too me.
All right.
That's fair. Do you
next card.
What's true to you?
One, go. Two, three.
Ooh.
Nice.
All right.
Two drops. This is Battle of the Two Drops.
It really is.
We've got Child of Night, Capetian Knight, Imposing Sovereign.
Ooh.
Ooh, saucy.
Child of Night and Capuchin Knight. different nights. Oh, this one's real tough. This one's tough for me.
Yeah.
I think if I had to go with like my gut heart.
Sure.
I would go pick imposing sovereign, lick child of night, flick capuchin knight.
I would pick capuchin knight. I would lick imposing sovereign because it's cool. And I would flick child of night because it's just a two drop.
I don't know. I think you can make an okay deck with some child of knights in there. So I'm going to pick child of night. I'm going to lick imposing sovereign and I'm just going to flick capuchin knight because I don't want to deal with that shit.
Look at us being all over the place on this one.
Yeah, you guys. This is a hung jury.
All right, let's do one more.
All right, ready?
All right, hold on.
One, two, three.
God. Ooh.
This is the worst. We have to do another one after this now.
Can we just do our rares after this?
Sure.
Okay.
So, Festering Newt, Pay No Heed, or Verdant Haven.
Oh, God.
Wah, wah, wah.
Lame.
I'm going to have to empty the spit valve out of my sad trombone after this one.
I'm going to... Well, in this case, it's sort of, you know, it depends on my mood. What is my mood?
What is your mood?
I think if I were looking at these in a, you know, first sad pack that I opened.
Does your mood weigh heavily in what you lick?
My mood weighs pretty heavily in what I lick.
Mm-hmm.
If I was looking at a sad, sad first pack that for some reason just had copies of these three cards.
Oh, God.
One, I would wonder what the fuck it happened. But I would pick Festering Newt.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, totally agree.
Lick Pay No Heed and flick Verdant Haven.
I'd lick Verdant Haven.
Yeah.
Because it lets me cast other ridiculous things later.
It's like doing a hippie.
Plus, I like the taste of life gain.
All right, last round. We're going to pick our rares out of our packs.
Right. I already blew my rare, so I'll just.
Oh, okay.
I'll just throw in my juicy uncommon.
I'm just seeing some sweet cards that I would totally
lick, flick, and click.
I would totally pick and lick the Sarah Angel.
Just ready? One, two, three.
Ooh.
So we've got Seraph of the Sword, Wild Ricochet, and Sanger Vampire.
Yeah! Nice. Wow. All right, I would pick Seraph of the Sword, get into my deck.
For sure.
I would lick Wild Ricochet because that is my dream life.
To do that thing?
Wild Ricochet. Yeah,
you
someone's.
Is it.
Yeah, that's me. They're volcanic geyser.
Or a lava axe.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, excuse me. I deal 5 to your face, and then I copy it and deal 5 more to your face.
Yes.
I had somebody use giant growth with that on me the other day.
Oh, nice.
That was a blowout.
Oh, snap.
A blowout. And I guess that means I got to flick Sanger Vampire.
That is rough, man. Whoa. That's Sanger Vampire. I think he deserves better.
You like Sanger better than, I mean, Seraph of the Sword better than Sanger?
Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean,
just think of how many times you could block this Seraph. I mean, how many times you could block this vampire with a Seraph?
Yeah, it's true.
That's true.
A lot.
It's a lot.
A lot.
You also can't attack past the Sanger Vampire, though, so.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the fact that it's a 3-3 flyer for 4 makes it a little bit better than the 4-4 flyer for 5.
Good point.
It's easier to cast.
Good point.
That's true. It's not got any double casting costs. I think I would pick Seraph of the Sword. And then the other two, it's pretty tied for me. I would love to Wild Ricochet someone. I would love to do that. But I think I would be more likely to actually be able to cast. So I would lick Sanger Vampire.
Oh, gross.
My question is, like, those fingernails. I mean, then you're kind of committing yourself to white, which is the weakest color. Do you care?
Nah.
No, with a sweet card like that.
All right, cool.
Plus, I can splash it off my Verdant Haven.
All right, everybody, we have a big moment now. A really big moment.
What is it?
We're going to announce who won a From the Vault 20.
Is it me?
It's not you, Ben.
Is it my friend?
Maybe.
Who lives at the same address as me?
It is not you.
No, it is not you.
Okay.
So if you signed up for the meatery.org, you have a chance to win
this. I did that.
Okay, good. Well, it's still not you. Okay.
But we don't know who it is yet, so it could still be me.
Yeah, no, I'm just telling you right now, it's not you.
It's not you.
The suspense is killing me.
Okay, it's not you. You still have time not to win this, but you can still sign up for the meatery.org. There's a lot of cool stuff on there, and we put our episode up there every Monday in an article by Megan and myself. And we're going to be giving away some more stuff, so it might be a good place to watch out for what's coming up and what we're giving away on the show.
Woo!
So can I get a very light drum roll, you guys?
Bum, 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 bum.
Oh, my God. Congratulations to Milo Gert-Jansen.
Gert-Jansen.
Milo Gert-Jansen.
Milo Gert-Jansen. Yay!
You win something.
From the Vault 20, from Meat Hall.
So just start posting your social security number on the internet.
Yep, yep.
And then eventually...
We'll get it to you.
We'll get it to you.
We'll get it to you.
Perfect, perfect.
Or
plan.
Send an email to...
MagicTheAmateuring@gmail.com. Up to you if you want to include your social security number. Maybe we do something fun with it. You never know.
All right, guys. If you want to also have your shot at fame, I've got good news for you because you can just leave us a review on iTunes.
What?
That's right. And we will make a pun based on your username.
Seriously? Yeah. We will?
Seriously, Ben.
Any username?
Any username?
What if it's impossible to make a joke about?
We'll still try.
We can.
Nothing's
we can.
Kept us down in the past.
All we right. won't ever call it a good joke.
Has someone left a review recently?
Yes, we've got two new ones.
Oh, but.
First review is from Tadave.
Oh, man. Tadave, your review is so awesome. I wish that I could have given you a hug today.
Yay!
You haven't even heard the review yet. How do you know that?
That's true.
It was a good review.
What does it say?
Probably something good. I read it earlier.
Oh, okay. Well, to Dave, I think that you are very too brave to leave a review, even though there's so many people trying to keep you down.
Mm-hmm. Hey, to Dave, you know, remember how you started Wendy's? Your review is better than a Frosty.
Hey, this is a heartfelt thank you from me to Dave.
I get it. We also have another one from a name that is already a pun, Mark D. Stroyer.
Nice.
I really hope that's your name, but I doubt it. If it is, tell us on Twitter at MTAcast because I would like to know.
And also ask Dr. Doom if he'll hang out with you.
Mark Destroyer, you destroyed my heart with that kind review in a nice way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark, tell me Destroyery about how you got that sweet name.
Mark Destroyer, Mark, more like Mark Deployer of great compliments. What are you gonna say right here?
Mark, you really, Mark Destrop, where we buried a great review.
What? What did that mean?
I think my pun stands out of tone.
If you want pun and circumstance like that.
In your life.
Simply leave us a review on iTunes.
Sprayed all over your life.
You can subscribe to our show and get it downloaded to your mobile device. Every week, it's like a little Christmas gift.
It'll magically transmit through the airwaves?
Through the air. It's a new technology called science.
Hooray. Hooray.
Hooray.
I love when my phone runs on science.
My phone ran out of science this weekend, and I had to borrow some science from Nurse Gas Station.
Smart. Yeah. I usually try to remember to pack my science charger.
All right, we have create a card real quick.
Oh, yeah. This create a card, it's called Caesar Salad.
Uh-huh. Let me guess. It's a green card.
Yep.
It's totally a green card. I honestly didn't think it through.
But
that
what
much
about
fast.
This? It's a green card.
How about this? It's a green land, and it taps for one colorless mana.
I was gonna say one mana of any color. Yeah.
Oh, no, I think, one colorless mana.
Oh,
or maybe it's a maybe it's a green land that taps for white mana.
Weird. It's a green land that can be the target of any type of kill spell.
So it's a creature land?
It's a creature artifact enchantment land.
Oh, horrible.
Let's make it a sorcery too. Why not?
No, why not? Just put it all in there.
Creature, artifact, enchantment, land, planeswalker.
It's everything.
It's everything.
Everything you need.
Yep.
Right there.
And it's just a green land. I think it taps for one of any color.
Thank you, Megan.
I think that's too fucking good. That's our create a card. And that's our create an episode of Magic the Amateuring.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sitting with us and just being there, you know.
When we need you.
Yeah. And for not saying anything.
Because Ben's shirt is still off, everybody. It is still off. Still looks naked from where I'm sitting.
Yep.
Megan, how do you feel?
I feel fine. I'm fine.
Ben, your shimmying would be a lot better if you had some stuff to shimmy.
Yep. That's fair enough.
I feel like I'm going to pass
out. It's so hot, you guys.
This is Minnesota. This is unusual for us. We're not used to it.
No, it's true. But that's our problem, not yours. So until next week.
Check us out on email, magictheamateuring@gmail.com, on Twitter @MTAcast. Our website is Magic the Amateuring, but check us out more often on themeanery.org.
Or challenge me to a game of Momir Basic on Magic Online. I'm middle schooler.
Challenge me to a draft of some sort. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
Send me a message with an emoticon. I'm horny_unicorny. And together we are
Magic the Amateuring.